Here, we're going to get into the Word of God in just a minute, but it's time to prepare your heart, because when your heart is prepared before the Lord, that means you're humble. You said, Lord, it's not about me at all. It's all about you. And as you come with this kind of heart, the Holy Spirit will come and fill your heart, fill your soul with more of Him. So let's come with a heart of surrender, a heart of full submission to our Lord God and King. Let us start off with a word of prayer. Let's bow our hearts before our Father God. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your holy presence and we seek after you, because where you are, there is an abundance of your love, your peace, and your joy. And I ask you now, Lord, as you speak your words, we're going to readily receive it as our hearts are humbled before you. And I pray, Lord, as your word speaks life into us, we're going to live your word, we're going to do your word, and we're going to see, Lord, the fruits that will be produced. And we know, Father, that means more of your love, your peace, and your joy, more of all that you want to offer to us. And Lord, I pray, as our hearts are ready, I pray you're going to fill us up, overflowing of your goodness. Because, Lord, we love you. And we know, Lord, it's your presence that we long for. So we give this time into your hands. We come to give you glory, come to give you honor, and come to give you praise. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And all my brothers and sisters in Christ say together, Amen. Praise God, praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, today the title of my sermon is, Go Ahead and Shove That Job, I'll Take It. And you probably think, well, what in the world is this all about, Pastor? Well, you know, Monday is Labor Day, right? So I figure, hey, we got to talk about work. But, you know, some of us remember that old country western classic song, right? Take this job and shove it. Okay. I don't have to explain what that is. I don't want to. But it's a song by Johnny Paycheck, right? And, you know, here's the thing. In the past several years of recession in the United States, someone in the internet, he wrote a blog, and he said, you know what? There should be a new version of this song. It should be, shove that job, I'll take it. Because you know how it is, right? You know, I mean, the jobless rate, it's climbing, it's getting higher and higher. And so if you don't want your job, hey, I'll take it. That's what the song should be, right? Because, you know, if you're unhappy with your job, you know, there's another person that's more than ready and willing to take it. But did you hear about this young college graduate who was interviewing for his first job? He went to the human resource director and asked him, okay, what is this job all about? Because I'm a new graduate, you know. And so the director asked him, well, what are you looking for? And the young man explained that he wished to start at a salary of $100,000, and he wanted to be placed in a corner office, and he wanted his own secretary. And the HR guy responded by offering to add a matching dollar for dollar to his 401k, as well as an automobile of his choice. But he says, you know what? We preferably would like to give our employees a BMW. And he looked at the young man. He asked, how does this all sound to you? And the young man replied, are you kidding me? And the HR guy says, of course I am, but you started it first. And we realize, right, sometimes we think, oh man, oh, whatever job I want to be happy. I want the best. I want it all. But, you know, sometimes with our job, it can be hard work. But you got to realize it's a blessing from the Lord. Whatever you're doing, whatever money you are bringing in, know that this is from God. God provided you, whether it's a business or a job that you have, it is from God. And you must be thankful to Him. Because, you know what, not everybody seems to appreciate their jobs. You know, I got to tell you, I remember my first job was at Gems Department Store. You guys remember Gems a long time ago, right? It's no longer in existence. But it was during my second year in high school. And I tell you, it wasn't really hard work. It wasn't manual labor or anything. But I remember I would complain to my parents that I didn't like the idea that some people would come, you know, to the department shoe section, and they would try on 12 different shoes. That means I have to bring them, you know, all these shoes, right? And then they put it on, then they take it off, and they end up not buying anything. And I'm thinking, all that work, I had to, you know, climb up and get those shoes and all that, and they end up not getting anything. And then I also remember I complained about stinky feet. I said, Dad, you don't know the kind of smell I gotta tolerate. You know, some guy takes off his shoe, and I would literally tear up. You know, take off his shoe. And my dad, you know, he's kind of laughing at me because I was only 15 years old. And he says, boy, welcome to the real world. I said, I don't feel sorry for you at all because that's not hard work. Well, thanks, you know, Dad. And to be honest with you, I only had this job for a few months because I was told that I would be laid off. And I really believe part of the reason was because I had the wrong attitude. You know, I didn't complain, but I probably came to work, you know, not looking very happy, not looking very bright, thinking, man, I gotta go through this for the next 4 hours. And guess what? When you have this kind of attitude, you're probably not gonna last long at your job. You know, on the internet, there's a forum for employers to complain and gripe about their employees. I was surprised that this existed. You wanna hear some of the things that the employers say about their employees? Here, let's take a listen. This is what one employer says. Since my last report, the employee has reached rock bottom and has started to dig. Another employer says, this employee is really not so much of a has-been, but more of a definitely won't-be. Another employer writes, works well when under constant supervision and cornered like a rat in a trap. Another writes, when she opens her mouth, it seems that this is only to change whichever foot was previously in there. Another employer writes, this employee should go far, and the sooner he starts, the better. Another one, this employee is depriving a village somewhere of an idiot. And another one, she donated her brain to science even before she was finished using it. And I like the last one here. Take a listen to this. If you give him a penny for his thoughts, you would get change. And, you know, you're thinking, wow, these are actual comments made by employers. And you gotta wonder, you know, as Christian employees, are we to be different? Well, we know what the scriptures say, and I'm going to go through these scriptures with you in a few minutes here, but we realize our employers should not be saying these things. If you tell them, especially you are a believer, you are a Christian, oh, we got to set the standard. We got to work in a way that we know we're going to represent Christ well. Because, you know, when it comes to our career, some of us, we have our dream jobs. It may be the job that you've been dreaming of since your childhood. I know I told my mom when I was 5 years old, I want to be a policeman. But, you know, I never got to be one. But, you know, the thing is, I realize it's such a blessing. Whatever God gives you as a career, if you know it's spirit-led, it's God-led, oh, you're going to just be filled with so much joy. But then again, there are what we call real jobs, right? Jobs that you got to do whether you like it or not. You got to put food on the table. You got to work. And some people say, oh, that's why I don't like my job, but I got to do it because I got to feed the kids. I got to feed the family. I got no choice. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, whether you're doing something you like or don't like, a lot of times you realize it's our attitude. Our attitude can make the biggest difference. And as you really realize that the job you have is a blessing from the Lord, wow, your attitude will change. Because we have to ask ourselves, how did you end up in that job that you have? Would you describe yourself as being happy every time you wake up in the morning and knowing that you have to go to work? Do you really look forward to going to work every day? Have you ever considered the link between your work and how that impacts your walk with Christ? Because you know what? Your job is a big deal to God. In fact, there's a lot of plain talk in what the Bible says about work. And I'll give you some examples. It's not in your notes, but I'm just going to read it to you. This is what 2 Thessalonians 3:11 to 12 says. It says here, we hear that some of you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 to 12 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the request of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Proverbs 19:15, it says, laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. And Proverbs 21:25, it says, the sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. And Ephesians 5:28, it says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands. And you know, there are several reasons why people are not happy with their jobs. You know, some people may feel underappreciated by their employers. Others may have followed the career path just to please their parents. And now they're thinking, I don't like this. It's something my parents forced me into. Or some just did it for the money. You know, because they say, oh, so long I'm making a lot of money, it doesn't matter if I like it or not. And some just choose the road of least resistance, meaning they did it because it was an easy job. But as they realize, man, this job is easy, but it's not for me. And I gotta share with you, I remember when I was in college, I had a job working in the library. You know what my job was? Dusting books. And I did it for like 4 hours. Imagine, just dusting books. You know, dust would get in your face because, you know, I went in the section where there's like older books. And man, it was so boring. It was very easy. But man, I couldn't imagine doing this as a life occupation. I'd go crazy. And I'd be falling asleep. And you know, that's the thing. Just because it's a job of least resistance doesn't mean it's a good job. But you know what? The good news is that more people are changing careers midstream than ever before. And there are ways to return to school, to retool yourself, or to re-educate yourself so that you will get that job position that you want. Because, you know, I typed in the word career change in the Google bar. And you know what? There are 28 million choices of responses that will pop up. You just type in career change. 28 million choices will come up. So, you know, a lot of people are thinking about changing their careers. I got to tell you, before I became a pastor, I had a career as an occupational therapist. I worked in a rehabilitation hospital. And, you know, God had blessed also my wife and I with a business over the years. You know, and, you know, we praise God for that. But, you know, people have asked me, Ben, do you miss your job as a therapist? And, you know, my answer to them, you know, I did it for like 13 years. And I said, you know, it was okay. I actually enjoyed the job, but I wouldn't trade my job as a pastor for anything else in the world. Because, you know, it's not about, you know, what the world sees about money, fame, and all that. No, I just want to be a servant of God. And there's no greater desire in my heart to serve the one and only true God. And that is my heart's passion. That is my heart's desire. I want to tell the whole world about the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, don't get me wrong. There are challenging moments as a pastor. But just the joy of knowing I'm serving my Father God. This is no greater joy. I wake up in the morning and I ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do for you? And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get out of bed because, you know, I just got a year older just a few days ago. And, you know, the bones are a little bit creaking. But, you know, it's okay. But I get out and say, Lord, I'm ready to serve you. And that's the kind of heart we all must have. Well, here's a question. It says, what are ways that we can appreciate our job more and change our attitude about how we can serve him better? Well, number one here, it says, whatever your job is, view it as a blessing. A blessing. And you know, especially in this recession, you know, you hear people say, right? Oh, if you have a job, make sure you hold on to it. You hear people say that, right? Because you know how it is right now with the jobless rate. Make sure you work hard that you don't get fired, because if you lose, you might not get another job. And it's true. We have, you know, friends, we know people that, you know, been trying to look for jobs for a long time and can't find anything. And, you know, but that's the thing. We got to look upon it as a blessing. Because, you know, I got to tell you, you know, like several Thursdays ago, you know, at the park we have Bible study. I got to tell you, I remember we were praying for some people that basically was looking for a job. And, you know, it's been like a course of over like maybe 3 or 4 weeks that I've been praying for some people. And I remember, this is like, I think it was 2 or 3 Thursdays ago, I stepped onto the park, the grass. And as I stepped on it, I remember one guy just came up to me and he said, Pastor Ben, you're not going to believe this. You remember you prayed for me just a week or so ago about this job that I wanted and it's so hard to get? I got it. praise God. And he's like jumping up and down. He's so excited. He goes, praise the Lord. God did it for you. And then after that, you know, I shook his hand. I said, oh, praise the Lord. And then I just took like maybe like 10 steps. Another lady came right up to me. Pastor, you remember like a month ago you prayed for me about having a job and it's been so hard, but I haven't been able to get one, but you prayed. Guess what? I got a job. Oh, praise God. I said, that's what our Father God does. And we were just praising God right there. And then I was walking to the front row where the seats are, and suddenly this lady, I guess she was hearing everything that the other two people were saying, and she says, and Pastor, I didn't even pray for a job. I got a job. That's me. I go, wow. And I had to share with everyone, you know, and the Bible study. I said, yeah, this is what God does. So do you think a job is a curse? Because you pray for it and God gives it. It comes from God. So it must be a blessing, right? So we realize whatever you do, you give your best to the Lord. And God says, I'll take care of the rest. I'll bless you. You just trust in me. And I'll bring forth the very best in your life. And we got to believe that. But you know what? Some people, they have the wrong idea about work based on the story of Adam and Eve. You know, they are under the impression that man was never intended to work and was forced with this responsibility after sin had come into the world. You probably heard that, right? I've heard that teaching before. Say, it was supposed to be all good, man. Adam was supposed to cruise, take it easy with his wife and just have a good time. That's it. Not supposed to work. Well, that's not true at all. I got to tell you, that's not what the Bible teaches. Because from the very beginning, God has given responsibilities to Adam and charged him with certain duties that he had to do. And I want you to look at these verses in Genesis 1, 2-5, 15, 19 to 20. I'm just going to read it. You can follow along. It says there, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the count of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. Then we jump to verse 15. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him where? In the Garden of Eden to what? Work it and take care of it. He gave him responsibility. It says, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. So we can see from day one, God gave Adam responsibilities to complete in the Garden of Eden. But even before that, God set the example for us to live a productive life, where he says, God, what did he do? He finished the work he had been doing. And on the seventh day, he rested. Now, what happened, though, to Adam and Eve when they sinned and found themselves banished from the Garden of Eden? Well, we find the answer in Genesis chapter 3. Look what it says here. It's in your notes. It says, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is what? The ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And now catch this very important distinction. Now I want you to really take a look at this. Because God, did he curse Adam? No. Did he curse his work? No. What did he curse? The ground. So in other words, God made the ground much more resistant to Adam's work. So Adam could still get results, right? From tilling the ground, but only with harder and difficult labor. You see that? Because a lot of people think, oh, he cursed Adam, or he cursed his work. No, cursed the ground. And then it says, there were thorns and thistles where there was once none. And sweat would now be required for bread to be provided. Sweat had to be produced because of the hard work. And the dirt that was now cursed would also claim their lives today. as you probably heard, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, we will return back to the dirt. So what does that mean? Well, simple. Work has never been a curse. I want you to understand that. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. And it's part of His purpose and plan for mankind since the very beginning of time. And so it's not a curse, but one of His greatest gifts. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a job. And you may be working a job right now that you are just dreading. But you know what? Sometimes it's the way you think. If you start thinking, this is a blessing from the Lord, guess what it will become? It will become a blessing. Because here's the thing. If you don't have a job, just imagine. If you've ever gone without a job for an extended period of time, you know what that's like. I mean, you can't get the things you need. You can't provide for your family. So if you have a job, every morning you should be thanking Him for it. Because the Bible tells us it is from Him. And so the best way to choose a career or to improve your attitude about your current position is to change your attitude about it. Just change it. I mean, simple. Just change it. You got a stinky attitude? No more. Make sure you wake up in the morning, you're praising God. You say, Lord, I'm going to give my best to You this very day. Thank You, Lord, that You've given me this job. It's not a burden, but it's a blessing. You may have heard of President Ronald Reagan making this famous quote. You guys know this quote, right? The man who does what is love, who does what he loves, will never work another day in his life. Isn't that true? If you love what you do, it's not like work. It's almost like you're having a good time. You know, it could be hard work, but it's your attitude. You love what you do, you don't have to work another day in your life. Wow. And we got to ask ourselves, do we have this kind of passion for our job? Do we love our job that we get excited every day when we wake up? Even though there are challenges, you tell the Lord, oh, I'm ready, Lord. Even though it's going to be difficult, Lord, to get through what I'm going to get through. Lord, You're with me, and You gave me such a great gift. I'm going to give my all. With Your strength, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, once He changes your attitude, just a little tweak, a little adjustment in your attitude. Sometimes that's all it takes for you to start loving your job. You may not start off loving it. You may start off liking it. But life will become love when you keep on praising Him and thanking Him for all that He's given to you. But on the other hand, if you have taken this career path for all the wrong reasons, you don't have to stay in this rut. Really. A lot of times people say, oh, but I fear. What's going to happen? What if I go to another job or I start my own business and it doesn't work out? Well, the question is, how much do you trust God? Because, you know, a lot of times, I know, people stay in their jobs for like 10 years, 15 years, and every morning they wake up, oh, it's hard to get out of bed because they're just dreading going to work. And I just tell them, you know what? Pray. Ask God. Is there something else for you to do? Something else that He can give you? Because He will show you, He will help you to find what that job is for you. Because the right job for the right person is a blessing that God wants for you to know and experience. There is a right job for that right person. And you may not have the right job. So simply ask the Lord, Lord, is there something else? And you'll be surprised when you ask Him that. Oh, there could be opportunity knocking on your door. Something else that you know you would love to do. Well, number two here, it says, view your job as a reputation builder. In other words, think of your job as a bridge for building a good reputation. Because who wants a bad reputation? That you're a lazy guy, that you don't work hard, you're always late, you're always this, you're always that. No one wants that kind of reputation. So that's why knowing that you are a Christian, a believer, and if your employer knows this, well, you better make sure you represent God well. Because someone has wisely said, listen to this now, every job is a self-portrait of the person who does it. Autograph your work with excellence. In other words, at the end of the day, when you finish your job, could you say, you know what, I did such a great job. And you could even autograph it. You have no shame. If there is some way, you know, that that it could be put on YouTube or something of your whole day of what you did, could you say, yeah, I can autograph that, I did all that? Or would you say, oh, don't put my name on there. Oh, you know what, I slept, you know, for like half an hour when the boss wasn't watching. Really, it says you should be able to autograph it with excellence. And that's where we know when we can do it unto the Lord, we will do it with excellence. I got to tell you about this pastor who tells of a time in which there was a knock on his door. And when he went to open it, it was a guy in a carpenter's overall. And the guy says, good morning, pastor. One of your neighbors told me that you live here. And he says, I just want to introduce myself. I'm a Christian and a carpenter like Jesus Christ. Oh man, right there and then you kind of know, okay, it sounds like danger already. And he says, I specialize in roof repair. I noticed you have some damage on your roof, and if you allow me to take a look at it, I'll give you a free estimate. I'll give you an awesome deal, because after all, you're a pastor. Oh, I'll give you a super good deal. And the pastor knew, you know, there was a small leak in his bedroom ceiling, so he says, okay, well, it needs to be fixed anyway, so okay, go take a look and give me an estimate. So after assessing the damage, the guy comes back and he says to the pastor, oh, you know, the damage is actually pretty bad. And normally I give an estimate of like around $600, but for you, pastor, $300. And the pastor says, really? And he's pretty quite happy. And he says, okay, great. When can you get started? Well, he says, tomorrow. So he shows up, you know, early the next day, but halfway through the job, he comes back to the pastor and he says, pastor, I'm so sorry to inform you that this job is going to take more material than I thought. And it means it's going to cost you another $100. You know, the pastor says to himself, well, you know, everyone makes mistakes. So, okay, another $100. So now we're up to $400. And so the carpenter does a job. And after he's done, he and his assistant, they leave in the late afternoon. Well, several hours later, there is a rainstorm. And now this little leak that was once there, guess what? It's a huge leak, and it's dripping fast, and it's dripping furiously. And so now, you know, he calls the guy again, and he says, man, I have a big leak in my bedroom now. So he comes, but he says to the pastor, well, you know what? It's after hours now, and it's raining, so I'm going to have to charge you another $100. And the pastor says, okay, well, I guess you have to, because I don't want my bedroom to be flooded. So the pastor sighs and says, okay, go and do it. So after fixing the roof, you know, the leak stops. And the pastor is, oh, okay, well, at least this is over with, right? So you think. Because 3 days later, it rains again, and the small leak is back again. And, you know, this time the pastor, he says, no, I'm just going to go through the yellow pages under roof repair. And the first company that I see, I'm just going to call. So he does that, and this new guy comes, right, and gives him a quote of $75 after looking at the roof. And the pastor, he said, I just had to ask this one question. He asked the guy, by the way, are you a Christian? And the guy says, oh, well, no, I'm not. And the pastor says, okay, go do the work. And well, after the work was complete, you know what? He says, years had passed. There had been no leak. It is such an excellent job. But from that day forward, whenever someone tells the pastor that he's a Christian and he wants to do some work for him, pastor, he's on guard. He gets a little bit nervous. And so you're saying, pastor, what are you saying? That we're not to trust other brothers and sisters in Christ to do work that we need to be done? Oh, I'm not saying that. I want you to look at this verse first, and I'm going to explain what I'm trying to get at. 2 Corinthians 8:23. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, as for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. For our brothers, they are what? Representatives of the church and an honor to Christ. And here's the point. If you're going to tell your customer, your client, your patient, whoever that you're going to work for, right, that you're a Christian, make sure you represent Christ well. Because you know what? You're also representing your brothers and sisters. Because Christian has the word Christ in it, doesn't it? So it tells us, because we are his representatives, you know, we got to make sure we do an excellent job, that we are honest, that we do things with great excellence. Because you don't want people of the world to say, oh, no, those Christians, they cannot be trusted. Oh, one Christian, oh, he cheated me. Oh, no, this Christian, oh, man, you cannot go to them. Oh, we don't want that to happen. So we got to realize, we got to give our best. And we are to be full of integrity when we do the work that we are to do. Because here's the thing, you really don't need to tell people that you're a Christian. Because let them find out for themselves. You don't have to tell, oh, I'm a Christian, and hoping, okay, because maybe they're a Christian that say, okay, now I can trust him. Now I'll give him the work because, hey, he's a Christian. No, you don't even tell them. You let them find out for themselves. I remember when I was working as a therapist in the hospital, I got to tell you, I'm kind of embarrassed by this, but I had a nickname for my patients. You know what they called me? A lot of them called me this. They called me Gentle Ben. And because, you know, I was always kind of speak softly, and I was very patient and understanding with them. I love to listen to their stories, and, you know, as I'd be working on them, you know, they'd be just talking away, and I was just so intent in listening to them. But, you know, even the elderly Japanese female patients, you know what they would call me? The little tiny Japanese ladies, they call me the gentle giant. I'm kind of embarrassing, but it's because, really, I knew because Jesus Christ was in me. And I got to tell you, I wasn't like this before I came to know the Lord. I was more of a selfish person. I like to do things my way. And, you know, I didn't have much patience. But when God entered in, that's when I started to change from the inside out. But I realized that this is how God wanted me to act, how to carry myself. And that's why my patients saw that. I believe they saw God in me. Because one day I was carrying a Christian book, and I didn't tell any of my patients that I was a Christian. And one of my patients made the comment, this little Japanese lady, she says, hey, she saw that Christian book in my hand. I thought you'd be a Christian or something. You see that? You don't have to tell people. They see it by your actions. They see it by the words that come out of your mouth. Because this is what the Bible says. They shall know you by your love. By how you carry yourself. If you truly have that patience, the kind of understanding that we know what we call the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All that, do we have that evident in our lives? Because that's how people will know that we truly belong to God. Amen? Well, number three here, it says, view your job as a building project. As a building project. And you know, there are two particularly strong passages of Scripture. If you take this to heart, I'm sure a lot of you already know these scriptures. And if you apply these scriptures, it will change your heart and your mind about your job, whatever it may be. If you really take these next scriptures to heart. And the first passage is found in the advice that Paul gives to Christians in one of their earliest churches, which is the Church of Colossae. Look what it says here in Colossians 3, 23 to 24. It says, whatever you do, work at it with what? All your heart. As working for who? The Lord. Not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Wow. Well, first of all, it says we're going to receive an inheritance, right? That means whatever God owns, right? So what does God own, by the way?
Everything.
So who's going to inherit it?
Me.
We are.
So you got to remember, but it says as a what? Reward. In other words, did you do a good job? If not, you ain't getting nothing from the Lord. Very plain and simple. You want a reward from the Lord? Make sure you give your best, whatever you do. And God says, I will give that. Whatever I have, it's all yours. Because the message of this verse is very clear. As a Christian, it is much more important how you do what you do to earn a living than it is what you do to earn a living. You catch that? It's how you do it. It's not what you do. If you say you're a Christian, it's how you do it that makes all the difference. Because if you're not doing a great job, you're doing a lousy job, you just want to get through the day, you know, without getting any stress, so you give the worst job. God knows about this. don't expect any reward from the Lord. Because, you know, someone may look down on a person because, you know, of the job that he or she has, but you know the truth of the matter is, any job you hold is transformed when you view it as a means to serve the Lord. And you glorify God in whatever it is that you do. Just before you go to work, before you step out of the car, say, Lord, all for you. Just do that. And before you go to your work, you know, your job site, whatever, all for you, Lord. All for you. All for you. If you keep doing that, I can assure you, your attitude will change. If you truly love God, if you know God matters everything to you, your attitude will change very quickly. And that's where we realize, that's what we want, because we don't want to be stressed out at work. But you know what? Paul wrote this verse to people who are living, in the most part, as nothing as more than menial slaves. So you can tell, you know, for the people that were receiving this verse, they knew that their lives would never improve, that their work conditions would always be poor, and seldom they would see any fortune coming to their lives. So you got to realize, though, everything can change. Even though you're in a situation where the conditions are poor and morality is low, everyone is unhappy in their jobs. You know, the thing is, this all can change when you view your occupation as a way to honor God and to represent God in a way that you know that people will see that, you know, you have a heart to give your best at your job because you're doing it for God. And you know, the second passage is even more profound, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 15. It's in your notes. Take a look at this. It says, for we are God's what? Fellow workers. We are a fellow worker to God. That's what it says. You are God's field. You are God's building. It says here, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, though, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. I want you to notice that we work not for a corporation, not for a company, not for your boss, not even for yourselves if you own a business. Because it says, whatever we do, we work for who? The Lord. We are fellow workers. That's what it says, fellow workers. We are God's co-workers with him and other Christian believers. And the sum of our labors is going to be inspected by God at the end of our lives. It tells us this in the scriptures. More specifically, God is going to inspect the building products that we have utilized throughout the years. And basically, he's going to take a look back. He's going to look into your life and see what you built your life upon. Did you build it with quality products? What do I mean by quality products? We're talking about in the spiritual, things such as deep, genuine love, patience, goodness, kindness, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, once again, that have stood the test of time and the storms of life. These are quality materials that God requires of us. Were we people that were honest, full of integrity? These are quality products. Or did we build them with the kind of materials that burn up easily? And what kind of materials are these? Well, in the spiritual, we're talking about love that may have been superficial or untrue. You know, we may have been, you know, honest to a certain degree. You know, we say, oh, we can tell white lies and all this. Well, these are things we know is easily burned up because it tells us. Look what it says in verse 15. He says, he himself will be saved, but as one only escaping through the flames. That means you barely made it. So that's why it's so important. When we got to give of our excellence to the Lord, we're not going to tolerate anything that we know is dishonest, anything that we know is not of the Lord. We got to say, Lord, I'm giving it all to you. because we're not going to accept something that, even if it's just an insy-tinsy little bit, we know that it's dishonest or whatever, we're going to reject it. We're going to say, no, Lord, this is for you. I'm representing you. So even if I have a loss, you know, it's okay. Lord, you will always provide it, but I'm doing it your way. Your heart must be this big for the Lord. You must say, Lord, I'm not going to do any other way. Okay, let me get this out of here.
The Lord calling.
Yeah, the Lord's calling. But, okay, where am I now? Okay, hold on just a second. Okay, give me a second here. All right, now I'm back. Okay, so it says that we know that it can be burned up easily, right? If it's the kind of love that is superficial, if it's the kind of love that we know it's not real, it's not true. So, but in the reading of the New Testament, we know it tells us we're going to have to give an account to God of what we've done with our talents, with our treasures, and with our time, with our work, and our careers. Because remember, our careers, our work, is it a gift from God? Yes, it is. And we got to give an account. Knowing that the Lord gave us this job, He's going to ask us, so what did you do with this job that I've given you? We got to make sure we can tell the Lord, I gave my all, Lord. I gave my all. I worked for you. That's what it was all about. I worked for you. You were my boss, and I followed your guidance. I followed your directions and all that you told me to do. We should be able to say that to Him when we were standing before Him. Well, I got to tell you, you know, there were three men. They were working side by side as masons, building this great cathedral. And you know, each one was asked why they were doing this. And you know, the first man answered that he was doing this because, hey, it paid good. I'm doing it for the money, of course. Why you ask me a question like that, right? I'm doing it because of the money. Well, the second man was asked the same question. He said, well, I'm a bricklayer, and I'm actually doing this because I got to pay off a hospital debt. And the third man, he was asked a question also, and he says, well, I'm building a great building for the worship of God. That's why I'm doing this, because I want people to come in here and they look at this magnificent building and say, I want to worship God. That was his heart. Which of these three men do you think loved their job the most? Who had the least amount of stress? Yeah, probably the third man. If his heart was true, I'm sure every morning he would wake up, Lord, I'm ready. Oh, let me add those bricks. You know, and he probably do it with such passion, such heart. And you know, God wants us to have joy and purpose in our labor. And you know, Solomon, at the end of his days, he had to reflect and come to this conclusion about work. You know what it is? Look what it says here in Ecclesiastes 5, 18 to 19. He says here, then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given him. Wow, what does he say? It's good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find what? Satisfaction in his toilsome labor. We've got to realize, yes, our job may be hard, but sometimes just a little tweak, a change in our attitude, I mean, it can be the best job you could ever imagine. You must find satisfaction in it. And try to think of creative ways, you know, of making your job even better, not just for yourself, but all the other co-workers. Maybe you can talk to your boss. You can tell him, oh, I think how we can make this job even better or make it a little easier so that everyone doesn't get stressed out, but we'll still do an excellent job. Sure, there are ways. Because once you realize, man, I'm working for the Lord, everything changes. Your heart will want to give its best when you step onto your job work site. And I want to tell you about this American television network that filmed an interview with Mother Teresa of Calcutta, India. You know Mother Teresa, right? And she gave her life in helping people who were dying of starvation, and people were dying of various diseases. And you know, the person conducting the interview asked Mother Teresa about her feelings of being used of God to minister the poor. You know what her answer was? She answered, but it is His work. I think God wants to show His greatness by using my nothingness. Can you just sense the humility in this woman? Saying God wants to show his greatness by using me, who is nothing. Using my nothingness. And you can see why she had such passion to help others. She realized it's not about herself. It's about God's greatness that will be displayed upon among the people when they realize, oh, this woman truly has a kind of love we've never seen before. This love can only come from God himself. And you know, she was asked later, the interviewer asked her, you feel then you have no special qualities? And Mother Teresa replied, I don't think so. I don't claim anything of the work. In his work, I am like a little pencil in his hand. That is all. He does the thinking, he does the writing, the pencil has nothing to do with it at all. The pencil has only to be allowed to be used. And the question is, have you allowed the Lord to use your life as a pencil to write your story? Because he will write a story just telling all the great and wonderful things you've done. Because you know what? You are always in his hand. He was writing your story. Because a lot of people say, no, I'm in charge here. I want to do what I want to do. I want to write my own story. Lord, you just stay away. I'm going to write my story. Oh, I want to be a billionaire. And huge mansion, Porsche, and all this. Yes, Lord. Lord, just stay away. I just want to write my own story. Stay away. Well, if you do that, guess what? And it might not just have a happy ending. As the Lord sees to it, you're going to have a super bright, happy ending if you do it his way. If you trust in his ways, he's going to see to it. Whatever you do, oh man, it's going to be even greater than gold. Whatever you put your hand to, oh man, God's going to bless it. And he's going to see to it that you will be constantly blessed. The blessings will keep flowing in your life, and it won't stop. And you're going to realize it all comes from the hand of God. Amen. Well, I want to conclude by showing you this video clip. Think of it as a tribute for those of us who labor and toil. Realizing all of us, yeah, we got our work, but remember what I said, it's your attitude. And if you start changing your mind, realizing that God is your boss, Jesus Christ, you're reporting to Jesus Christ every morning as you step onto your work site. Just watch how everything will change. You're going to start loving your job, and you might even give your boss a big hug. Say, thank you for my job. Because all your attitude has changed. I'm going to ask Arthur, can you go play that video, please? Heart as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, so it means at your work site, at home, at play, wherever you go, give your best unto the Lord. And yeah, even in the golf course, for those of you who like to golf, just imagine if you say, Lord, this is for you. Give me the best play ever. Just watch what he will do. And that's what all it takes. Your mind to say, Lord, all for me. Amen? Let's go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. Father God, I know, Lord, you have written in our hearts, Lord, that we are to be co-workers with you. And I just pray, Lord, because we know, Lord, we're building your kingdom here on this planet Earth as people who are lost, who are in desperate need of love. Father, we are to be used as vessels by you to tell them of the good news that Jesus Christ loves them. And I pray, Father, that as we change our minds, Lord, change our attitudes, Lord, about our work, if we have a negative attitude, that we're going to change it. We're going to say, Lord, I know, because this job is a gift from you, I'm going to give my all. Because I'm reporting to you, I want to make sure that people will see that truly, when it comes to Christian workers, oh, they're the best ones to hire, that they're the ones that go above and beyond what is required of them. And I pray, Lord, as we truly have this kind of mindset, we know we're going to be so quickly promoted, where we're going to experience just favor from you and from men. And I pray, Lord, that as we truly have the desire to give of our best to you every single day of our lives, we know we truly will live our most blessed life. We praise you, Lord, knowing that you love us so much. And we continue, Lord, just to give our lives as a living sacrifice, an offering unto you. Now you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize that's me. I know that I truly haven't been living a life that is reflective of our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe even at work, there'll be times when I know other people, they'll be gossiping about others or even saying crude things. And sometimes I'll join in. But I realize now, because I'm representing Christ, I must live a life that is different, a life that is true to God. And if you're saying, Pastor, I'm going to take this point in time to say, Lord, no more. I'm surrendering my life to you. From this day forward, I'm going to represent you and represent you well. If that's truly your heart's desire, and you say, Lord, help me, because I want to be more like you, can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you see now the hands that were raised. Most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I'm ready to give of myself fully unto you. Lord, I surrender all. Lord, forgive me of those times when I thought it was all about me. That I thought that everyone had to put their attention on me because I'm the most important person on this planet. And I know, Lord, you know I was once like that. And I'm glad, Lord, I'm no longer like that. I just pray, Lord, will you just touch the hearts of your children right now? And as they truly want to live a life that is true to you, a life that we know that we can represent you well, I just pray, Lord, just showers of blessings will be poured upon their lives, that they will just experience your power and your presence in ways they never experienced before. Father, let your blessings flow, because we love you and we need you every day of our lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer. It must come from your heart, though. When it comes from your heart, God knows this. This is genuine, genuine love that you're expressing to him. And if you're ready to say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Make it a point to say, Lord, I'm ready to give my life to you right now. And as you do, you know Jesus is going to enter your heart. The Bible tells us he makes your heart his residence when you say yes to him. So if you're ready, you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart. Don't delay. Just say, Lord, I'm ready. If you know the Holy Spirit is pulling at your heart right now, and you say, okay, Lord, I'm giving my all to you. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I want to give my life, all of me, to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You put your hands down now. Okay. Let's say a prayer and really mean it from your heart, because God is listening right now. Can you just repeat after me? Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you.
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that.
I give you praise for that.
And Father God,
I
confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
cleanse me now, Lord.
Cleanse me now, Lord.
And make me holy and pure unto you.
Make me holy and pure unto you.
So now I say this.
So now I say this.
So you can hear me, Father God.
So you can hear me, Father God.
So that everyone can hear me.
So that everyone can hear me.
So that I can hear myself.
So that I can hear myself.
And so that the devil can hear me.
The devil can hear me.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for Him.
I live for Him.
And I live for Him only.
I live for Him only.
Father God,
write my name
in your book of life,
for
I give you praise. In Jesus' name. And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's all stand. Just give glory unto God.